You're listening to the GAA Hour with Diarmaid Ling on Sports Joe.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Hurling Show. It's been two or three weeks now since we've had, since all has been decided. I'm delighted to say we're joined by Niall Moran from Limerick. Niall, celebrations are, I'm sure, past and gone, but great to reflect over the year.
Aye, I'd say more like on hold, Gizzy. I know the lads themselves had a phenomenal week and it was well deserved.
But it's back to the club now. It's kind of moves
on
fast.
Yeah, back to the club there now. I know we played ourselves there last Thursday and we played a there, great game, and we're out again this weekend. But for a lot of them boys then, there's 3 weeks off thereafter. And do you know what? I'd say a part of them is glad that they can go back to the clubs now for a few weeks and then they'll have a breather to weigh and have a holiday, well-deserved break. And then obviously see out the year with their clubs. But I suppose, look, it was an unbridled celebration here in Limerick, and I suppose like there was probably a double whammy in it, Gizzy, in the sense that obviously COVID had probably robbed of homecomings, etc., for the last 2 years.
That's right.
And obviously the weather as well played a part. But I think maybe in this case, I think as the year progressed, it was a very, very hard one, All-Ireland. I don't think you can underestimate that, even especially as you reflect on it. People tend to say, can anyone catch Limerick? But the reality of it, as the year was going on, it was very difficult. And
the Chase and Packer, they're getting closer. They're definitely getting closer. Bring in James as well. Sorry, Niall. There's been, I suppose, seismic news in the hurling community as well, with Brian Cody's stepping down. How are you, first of all?
I'm good.
All good.
Delighted to be here. Thank you.
Yeah. And Brian Cody leaving the scene.
Yeah.
Interesting timing. The day before the football final. It's like Brian Cody, boy, here he goes again.
Yeah, it was heavily muted around, I suppose. And I suppose...
Yeah, even whisperings of it.
Yeah, even last year, you know, there was talk that one more year, I suppose more so than any year, I suppose for the last nearly 10 years, people are saying, will Cody stay on? And, you know, particularly in the last 4 or 5 years, but... I was always saying, of course, of course, of course. But I think for some reason this year, everyone felt it, whether, I don't know why, that maybe it was a possibility that he would step down. But still, when you hear the news, you know, it's I won't say it's like a debt in the family, but it is, you know, Cody moving on is something absolutely different. And especially for players who are maybe 7, 8, 10 years inside hurling, coming to the end of their career and just thinking maybe of a new manager coming in. And that brings about maybe a whole new lease of life for some guys, or maybe other guys who never got in there when Cody was around, they might spruce up now and, you know, say, God, now I have my chance. So exciting, interesting times.
Yeah, it's hard to see, Niall, anybody coming in from the outside. I think maybe the rest of the hurling world are a little bit glad. We probably would have been happier had it happened a bit sooner, but Limerick's 3 in a row also put an end to the greatest managerial career in the history of the game. But I'm sure it's only ever a career you'd looking at and celebrate as well for his contribution. And I do feel, and have felt for a while with Limerick as well, like there's something of what Cody brought into the game in his time in charge and what he managed to cultivate. Now I know, similarly as in Limerick at the moment, that a special group of players come along, but he did bring a set of ethics into the game where I think in other sports, maybe as sport drifted a little bit more towards entertainment, Cody held a very solid line in terms of hard work and honesty and simple things that are very hard to grasp for the majority of people very often. But Limerick certainly showed all of those characteristics as well, like a genuineness on the field and a willingness to do the hard work.
Yeah, I suppose, look, Limerick, no different than the other county, your last 20 years looking in over the ditch. So there comes a point when you'd have to take on some of those traits, I suppose. For the last number of years, John Kerr's book, Legacy, about New Zealand and about, I suppose, their guiding principles and how they operate, I suppose that was articulated through print medium, whereas in Cody's case, I think he was the physical embodiment of that legacy. And I suppose one of the key words, obviously, was spirit, but I suppose the simplicity of what can you do. And I suppose when you break it down, like it becomes attainable for everyone when it becomes simple and it comes down just to that dirt of honesty and hard work. And in Limerick's case, I think like the word that always comes out is the spirit of the group, but how much they enjoy doing what they're doing. Mm. And I suppose one of the narratives that probably was kind of weighing down GA players over the last number of years was, I suppose, the amount of time that's gone in, and it was a weight on your life and how you lived.
And I suppose the sacrifice maybe and all of these terms, yeah.
Yeah, the sacrifice, whereas I don't think that ever came to the fore in Kilkenny. And even just dealing with the lads or looking at the lads from a distance here in Limerick, it's pretty much the same, because it's just an honesty and the simplicity of it. And yeah, look, I think there's a bit of fear now in Kerry that there's rumours that he's taken over the Kilkenny football team. So if that comes to pass, I think the country might be finished with them yet.
We'll see. I'm not sure on that one. One of the things that I always found, I suppose, a little bit humorous, but also very frustrating, was it seemed like for about 10 or 15 years, there was a huge growth in sports psychologists and strength and conditioning, and then there was tactics men coming in, and there's kind of different colour cones all over the field, and everything was like growing, and who had the next drill and who was doing this. And there was this constant question to Cody, like, you know, how are you doing it? How are you doing it? And he'd kind of just always say the same thing, and everyone said, oh, geez, Cody's telling us nothing, like he's not. But in the end, actually, when you look back, he was telling us all along. We just didn't really know how to listen to him. There were simple tenets that this is the hill we're going to die on now, and all the other things are going to just kind of develop around that.
I suppose he's consistency over the years, and not even in the performances of Kilkenny, but his consistency as a person, I would say. Mm. Do you know, I think, was it the Clare game? One of the games I was up at this year, I counted 8 cones that Kilkenny had out. There was 4 opposite 4. And I went counting, you know, I was actually taking it to show here back a few weeks ago. But I went counting and never came up, but I kept counting the show or the cones on the other side, and it was somewhere between 50 and 60. And, you know, there was a simplistic approach, but I suppose he didn't really want to come out into the media and say how it was done. You know, it's not as if he didn't have conversations behind the scene. Mm. Of course they were had, you know. Well, there was tea and Jaffa cakes eaten in Kilkenny as well at different times, but he didn't come out and, I suppose, speak about it, talk about it. And at times when you're a manager or you're involved in sport and people are critical of you, you'd love to get, I suppose, proved him wrong and didn't tell him you proved him wrong. He never probably told him. He just, it was more the action which was done. So I suppose his consistency as a person is the, you know, more so the way he dealt with people, the way he dealt with the media, the way he dealt with players. Do you know, like, there was players in Kilkenny were dropped over the years too, but they weren't really dropped. They were ignored. You know, there was no statements coming out from the Kilkenny County Board or the management about this, that and the other. And there was plenty of incidents at times, but Everton was just treated exactly the same, and, you know, the same problems happened, but he dealt with it probably in a very good way.
Yeah, it's something I'm looking forward to. We have Aaron Gillan coming up in a little while, and one of the things it's one of the things that I wanted to chat to him about, and Niall, you can definitely shed plenty of light on it too, I think, is often when you tell somebody something, when you learn something, like, you know, you endure some kind of struggle, and then you have this nugget of wisdom that you've picked up, and I feel sometimes, and I just see it reflected back to me in my own life, like, as soon as you share it, or if you go around telling everybody what that nugget is, it's like the power of the nugget is being divided, like you're spreading it out, and it's spreading far and wide, and it's no longer your own little nugget to hold. And it has been, it is difficult from the outside to get a hold of what's happening in Limerick, in how they're achieving what they're achieving, or even just to cultivate the conditions where lads are moving or have moved from that sacrifice, that language that you were talking about initially, to something of a joyful approach. And yeah, they seem to be well able to hold their tongue on it, which is, I think, you know, we're disappointed by it in some respects, but also it's you'd have to admire them for it too.
Yeah, I suppose what you're saying there, Gizzy, is that, like, I suppose maybe as players going forward, you endure a struggle, and I suppose within that struggle, you come out with that nugget of wisdom, or I suppose that allows you to try and share your weakness as a person, and obviously as a player. I suppose, like, one of the things there that I would always say, I suppose maybe it becomes some successful teams. Like, successful teams, they're no different to a marathon runner, Gizzy. They endure many struggles along the way. I know Jared Hartman there, local famous physio here, he'd have had a conversation with Paula Radcliffe where he compared the marathon was compared to a rose. And at the top there, you have this sweet-smelling rose that everyone admires and everyone looks in from a distance. But I suppose all the way up along that rose, you have thorns. And I suppose what they would have always said, the more thorns along the way, the sweeter the rose. And I suppose in Limerick's case there, and I suppose no different to Kilkenny and no different to dealing with Cody, like every day you come home from training, there is a problem, there was a strain, be it an injury, be it lack of form, be it personal problems. And I suppose the reality of it was for Cody was probably, I mean, James obviously knows more about this, he was there, but I suppose he allowed you probably figure it out the hard way yourself, which probably leads to a deeper learning. Whereas I suppose in Limerick's case there was like Carolyn Curd had that element that she allowed guys come through those struggles, but she helped them and she gave them the tools that they now have as players to make them better and stronger. And I suppose with Cody, like, it was tough loving, and that was how he probably allowed his players to kind of just to realize the tools that they needed. And
there's a marked difference there, isn't there? Like Caroline Kerr, definitely, from what I can understand anyway, like there was a much more of an involvement outside of hurling, like just kind of trying to create more rounded people that would then automatically feed them as hurlers because they'd be more rounded people and wouldn't be too attached to it. Whereas Brian Cody, it seemed, had a little bit more of, you have to figure this stuff out yourself. But I'm not going to spoon feed it to you, because spoon feeding it to you is going to weaken you. And they're two different. It's not like that's what we're often searching for. What's the way? Like, give me the answer. I want the way. But there's a variety of ways, and they definitely seem to have differing approaches, but exceptionally successful.
Yeah, he's like, it seems so simplistic to say that you just go out and play the best team, and you know, but when you do strip it all apart and take everything down, you know, if you're hurling well and performing well, sure, go out and play. And you know, in Nolan Park, we kind of had two dressing rooms side by side, back in my time anyway, where you'd talk out in one, but I always sat inside the door on the right, and Cody used to kind of sit on the other side of the door. And do you know, he'd small bits of talk after training, and the two boys to my right were probably James McGarry and Gorta. There was a small little corner there, and those two boys went in with him. He obviously ignored me. But you know, I said Cody was a village man, James Stevens and Gorta was a Loughlin's, or two town teams, and they'd have a small bit of banter over that. But you could also see when Cody be laughing, that it was nearly a put on false laugh, you know, kind of throwing the head back. And he never showed too much of his real character. And if, you know, as a team, if you went into a restaurant, I suppose, and you know, if you were away on holidays or you were coming down, he'd probably sit in the farthest away chair and corner that you could find, you know, and he had a habit of doing that. So a lot of players were there for 8-10 years, and if they didn't sit in that exact dressing room and they were maybe in the other dressing room and they played away and they were playing well, they might have had very limited conversations. But there's something brilliant about that too, though, because every single player looks at him and he has that little bit of a, there's kind of respect there. You just know he's going to be, that should be three All-Stars in a row. If you're playing bad the following year, bang, you're dropped, new man in. And it treated exactly the same. And I suppose he done that right through everyone's career. And we've seen that, I suppose, in all aspects of how he's done it.
One of the highlights that I mean, some of the realisations that I've picked up along the way from Brian Cody, from starting to listen to him from probably 2015 or 16 on, very early on, there was, and I'd say in 2005, I was becoming more friendly with Eddie Brennan, I suppose, and I was sitting up in Langton's. I think you were in maybe training, and Eddie had come out. I was living in Kilkenny actually at the time, and I was sitting in beside Eddie, and Brian Cody came over, and now I was a year or two into the Wexford panel, and I was, you know, wasn't like, I didn't even think he'd know who I was, like, sitting there, and he came over, and he was very, very personable and very complimentary, and you know, he gave it, like, it was straightforward. It was a very straightforward interaction, but like, he didn't, you know, it was a great geez, I felt great after it, you know, because it was, I wasn't expecting it from him, I suppose. The second thing was, I heard him down, he came down to Wexford to a GA club, to my own GA club, to St Martin's. We were running a thing in town, a part of a fundraiser, and I was speaking first, and then Brian Cody came out at the end, and he was really hitting home on the spirit, and he was challenged by a well-known Wexford horse trainer who was kind of dancing on Kilkenny's grave a little bit, like saying, "Oh, you're gone, you're down, that's it, Kilkenny, you're, you know, you're, that this is the end." And he was kind of happy about that. And Cody's response was, and kind of in his talk, his response was, "If the spirit is right, we're not down. You can say we're down because we're not winning all Ireland's, but if the spirit is still right in the camp, and I believe the spirit is still right in the camp, then I'm winning, and like, all Ireland's kind of take care of themselves." Now we're here and we're chatting about all Ireland's, and obviously Limerick have had phenomenal success at the expense of Kilkenny on many occasions, but still, that, like, when you're true to that at the core, you know, you rise and fall on it. And it's, yeah, I think it's his lasting legacy, like bringing that word in so strongly as an embodied kind of an experience.
This year is testament to that, I think, because you couldn't say Kilkenny, you know, it was very hard to pull Kilkenny out as All-Ireland contenders at the start of the year. You know, true performances, and it's not, no disrespect to any player that's performing for Kilkenny throughout the year, but it didn't look like there were contenders to come up against this great Limerick team. And yet, when it came down to it, you know, it probably was one of Limerick's greatest challenges. And that's why I think, you know, Limerick have enjoyed this one so much as well. And to win three in a row, and I suppose having to beat Kilkenny on the way, I think it really cements this great Limerick team as well. And that's a testament to Kilkenny, I suppose. And like, Limerick probably always wanted to be Kilkenny, and as from a Kilkenny, we always wanted to say, I wonder how would we get on against Limerick, and would they go, would they annihilate us in an All-Ireland, would we be able to stand up to them? And you know, we probably did stand up to them. And when we were coming down the home stretch, you know, the goal, the early goal from Hegarty was a sucker punch, and I remember feeling it was that sinking feeling in the stand going, God, there's only a few minutes gone. The one thing I said to myself all along was, we need to stop them getting goals, and we need to get two more goals than they did.
And start well.
And we give them 1-2 to no score. And you're thinking, oh, God, this is lights out. And it was the first 20 minutes. But as we were coming down the home stretch, I was actually sitting more up in my seat. And I was saying, I think we look to have the legs here. And, you know, we came out disappointed, but they really stood up. And Cody used the word after. He said proud. You know, every Kilkenny person should be proud. And yeah, it's a word I'd use, but still bitter disappointment, because at the end of the day, you want to win it. And I think closer it came, every Kilkenny person believed that, you know what, we could actually win this. And that's a massive belief from where we were 3 months ago.
For sure.
And I suppose that's testament to where Cody, you know, we wouldn't have thought this Kilkenny team would light a candle to maybe the Kilkenny team back in the noughties or the, you know, so it's brilliant to get there, but it's still no good.
Any highlights of the man from the outside, Niall?
I just think it's what you articulated there, because I think if he came into a dressing room, like, you just, even to catch his eye, you would be 10 foot tall after it.
Yeah.
Again, it's just that competitiveness through the years. Everybody who threw a challenge at them, he stood up, and they seemed to grow in light of challenges. And one of the things that even he quoted himself in the weeks leading up to the All-Ireland was about, you're never reaching your potential. There is always more within you. And I suppose, if anybody, I suppose sports people or whatever, I suppose, when, and even in Kilkenny's case, like, I suppose they found their limit in Limerick for that. And I suppose what they'll be looking to do next year is kind of blow past it. And I think with Cody, there was never an end goal. It was always building on it. And look, he's the grandfather of it. And it'd be interesting to see how the GA use him in the years, because yes, he might have retired from one job, but it's how they use a man with that wealth of knowledge and that respect right the way throughout. Let's get him in Croke Park. Let's get him in the corridors. We can only make the game that bit bigger and better, like, you know.
For you, James, any particular highlights in your time with him, or looking in from the outside, something that stands out?
I don't think so. I always thought I got on well with him. He might say differently. But he was...
Why would he say differently?
Huh?
Why would he say differently?
I don't know. I don't be texting him the whole time, though. So, No, look, I have no great standout. I suppose the one thing I'll say about him is, and you know, I'm doing a small bit of a selector with a local team, and you'd be training underage, and he's probably, there's so many people in Kilkenny are probably going out there, maybe being managers or trying to be managers of any level of a team, and I think they've took so much from Cody.
Yeah.
So when I first joined the panel in 02, you know, and I think Cody was maybe 99 was his first year. So you're talking of guys now who currently Kilkenny players, maybe 20, 21, right up to guys in their mid-50s. He's trained a span, he might have 24 years, but he's trained a span of maybe 35 years of Kilkenny hurlers, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And you throw them all out around the county of Kilkenny into their clubs. They're bringing that same type of, you know, I won't say spitting in the hand type of a scenario, but they're trying to bring the same.
What they've learned is
how to bring it. And I think that's massive. And, you know, some people mightn't admit it, but I think everyone has picked up a small bit from how he portrayed himself the way he dealt with players and the way he picked a team on how people are performing.
Yeah.
And that legacy will live on. As I said, there's 35 years of that going around, even though it's only 24-year legacy of a management.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I remember thinking, I often thought about Kilkenny, but also with the great Cork team around 04, 05, that like, geez, these fellas can't be stopped. I'd say that's pretty much the feeling that everybody has at Limerick at the moment. Four in a row, I mean, that's been done. The five in a row, that seems to be... yeah, there's a reason it hasn't been done, is because it's so difficult to do it. Who can catch them, Niall, or do you see them being caught in the next year or two?
Of course, there's teams, Gizzy, that can beat them. Like, do you know what I mean? As in, again, every year there's new challenges going to await them. But like one comment that Donny Ryan used to make there, he says about talking about All Ireland, he says there's very little difference between winning 8 and 9 All Irelands, but there's an awful difference between winning 0 and 1 All Ireland. And in the case of some of the Limerick lads, like, it's not beyond the realms, Gizzy, that over the next 6 or 8 months, that some of these boys might decide to pursue other things in life. Do you know what I mean? Lockdown probably played to our barrel in a lot of cases where lads weren't able to go travelling. And so, like, there's going to be other challenges along the way. Obviously, like, Limerick will continue to be exceptionally competitive, but like, the chasing pack are getting closer, and I suppose given the format of the championship, it becomes that bit more difficult. But I suppose the hope, again, it's not whether, look, if they could win 4 in a row and break that 5 in a row barrier, like, that would be dreamland altogether. But the one beauty of Limerick at the moment, Gizzy, is I just don't think people are getting carried away with themselves. We're realistic to know that we struggled for long enough. And just one of the things I heard Darragh Donovan, he was in an interview there recently, again, the guy you hurled against wouldn't know a whole point about him. And I just thought they were so cognizant of where Limerick had probably been for the last 20 or 30 years. And it was one of the things that they respected, but they also were aware of, well, it's now part of their overriding legacy to ensure that over the next 20 or 30 years that we as a county change our mindset to make sure that we're not waiting 45 years to win a title. And so that... look, that is ultimately where Limerick needs to get to. If they can win 4, savage. But there are counties that are coming very, very close. And I suppose with the change of management, that presents both, I suppose, a ray of hope for a lot of these counties, because they get a bounce factor as well. Like, you know, so there are challenges ahead. And look, Izzy, it's mad. We're talking about this on the 2nd of August. Like, do you know what I mean? We're 9 months away again from championship. So there's a lot of water to under the bridge before that.
What can you bring yourself back to the final whistle? And I mean, it's happened now, whatever, 4 or 5 times. But for the fellas, the young fellas that you've been involved with, to see them, I suppose, behaving that way as well, for them to have that cognizance, for them to be as balanced as they are, but also to see them out on the field winning in Ireland, when I know it's something that, you know, yourself and the brother chased it for so long. But to see those fellas that you worked with and have had a part in instilling values in, what was it like for you to see those fellas come through like that?
Yeah, again, look, I don't have kids, so I suppose I'm trying to use the analogy of what it must be like for a parent to see somebody coming up along. And look, we were very fortunate in the school that lads come into us for 4 or 5 years, and do you know what I mean? We're part of their development, by no means the centre of it. But the beauty that I love, Giz, right? And I've met a few of them in probably since, and you avoid meeting them, all right? Especially on nights out, because you don't want to be seen like, hey, Jesus, you're hanging off here, like trying to relive past glory. It's actually the furthest thing from it.
Yeah.
Actually, even the Monday night after, we ended up in a few places, and actually the last people I wanted to meet were the boys in that context, because you kind of feel as if they're obliged to come over and start a conversation when... So, like, but even, I suppose, having met them privately, maybe in the days since, it's like you take enormous pride. I suppose, so you look back when you had them as kids and you're recalling a common memory from a school's match or a club match or whatever else. And, like, I suppose, you know what it instills in you, Gizzy? It instills that appetite maybe to, you know, go and keep on helping with these underage teams and keep on adding to their experience, because the one beauty of it, none of these lads that I'd have been lucky enough to deal with, and I'm sure the same goes for anyone in the clubs or schools or academies, that's the beauty of them. They always recognize us. The first thing they do, they recognize it, and they don't need to. Do you know what I mean? They don't need to. And I suppose, yeah, sure. Look, you look on a pride, and as they go along to say, Jesus, I coached them and all the rest. But you're right again. For a lot of these guys, Gizzy, it's the homes that they came out of. And if you knew that the homes that they came out of and the people that they came out of, and they all have their own different story, but I just think it's the people that they are, and it's how they continue to carry themselves. That ultimately, Gizzy, is the most satisfying thing as a Limerick person. Honestly, it's so that is like, again, they reflect our people. And if that's the kind of people we are, and if it's reflected through the players that we have, then John, we're good old skins down here.
Yeah. Well, I think you had it hard enough, and we talked about it the last day after the All-Ireland as well. Like, I think Limerick it's gone through its struggles in that, in terms of how people have viewed them from the outside because of stories in the news or whatever, where all the focus was. And to see, particularly when Dolores came on after the final whistle, like, you just felt in the heart of Limerick people bursting open in Croke Park. It was a really magical experience. One of the, I suppose, against Brian Cody's legacy, there's been in plenty of other places a bit of a managerial, I mean, sure, every county has gone through, you know, at least five or six managers since he's come in. Tipperary this year, I don't know how in keeping it was with how they would maybe normally do business. Seemed to be a little bit harsh on Colin Bonner. Would be hopeful for Liam Cahillers, or a little bit of a something kind of to come in on the back of that. I wouldn't say it's like going behind the strike line, but it's like there's something kind of a little bit of an edge there to it that may take a bit of healing.
Yeah, like, I suppose it's hard to know what was going on behind closed doors, and that's where really you'll see the story. And, you know, we're not, I'm not sure exactly what went on, but it looked very, you know, one day gone, next day in, and the whole thing. It was, I think, really 3 days in a row. Colin was removed, Liam Cahill left Waterford, and in on the third day
it was as inevitable as so
what was going on behind closed doors, I don't know. I suppose there was a lot of commentary on how the Tip County Board went about relieving Colin Bonner of his duty. So it was probably, for me, that should have been done a little bit better, should have been worded. But, you know, in all these scenarios, I think when you're in the middle of it, like you are in the Tip County Board, and you know what's going on, you've got to remember that just because you know what's going on, the general public doesn't. So if you release some sort of a statement there, it has to be in fitting with, I suppose, no matter what has gone on behind closed doors or what you think or how you want to put it. But it looked like it was something that was going on for maybe a matter of days, a matter of weeks.
Yeah.
And they just came along and just said, yeah, go on, we'll word it like that.
Without a feel for how things were on the ground a little bit.
Because the majority of people didn't know what was going on. Because, that's, you know, when it is behind closed doors, there's a small network of people looking at it. So for me, it just struck as they decided to put it out there because, you know, maybe there was to-ing and fro-ing beforehand. I don't know. But when they did release it, they should have put a little bit more class into the statement, and probably, you know, I won't say just, you know, borderline embarrassing, I thought, for Colm in the end. So, you know, definitely I'd say if they could turn back the clock, they would have done that a little bit different. But look, Liam Cahill, passionate man, good man, only over the road from me, actually, in neighbouring parishes. I'm right on the border in Ballingarry, and has done a great job in club teams, done a great job with Tipperary underage, you know, had Waterford absolutely flying it in early doors. And, you know, last year as well, they performed very well. So he looks to be building a good team, bringing in Pádraig Maher as well. Like, that's just...
We mightn't see Paddy.
No.
We mightn't see Paddy on the show for a while.
Not again.
Yeah.
But he's the ideal man to bring in as regards the person who's just out. With any manager going in, you'd have to think of him just for the connection between the players and the management. And if you were listening to him talk in the dressing room after what he's done over the years for a younger player coming up, you know, he's half the battle already.
Yeah, sure, he didn't have to say too much even. No. It's just the way he holds himself. It's the power and the way he played the game. You were mentioning there, Niall, about here we are in August. Is there a little bit of a lament in that? Like, do you think the split season, county club having it done this early, little bit of a feeling of a rush? Or would you go back a little bit more? Would you pull it back more into August, the All-Ireland, and have a little bit more of an overlap?
Yeah, look, I know there's been a lot spoken about this because, again, for your listeners, even not to go on about it, it's way too early to have an All-Ireland final played. The issue here is that clubs aren't getting their, probably the club players want a little bit of security, knowing when they can go on holidays and stuff. And we get that. And I suppose there's the issue then at the tail end of the year that county championships aren't being finished. But like, there's a lot easier ways to come about it, like in terms of getting uniformity inside of the club side of it to allow us maximise our exposure of our games. And I even found with the underage championships there was one particular week there where there were 17s hurling football, 20s hurling football. I think it was on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, TNG were showing matches from all different places. It was just raced through. Yeah. And again, look, yes, there is an element of interest in club championship, but the same thing goes, like, am I going to watch a rugby match? Like, as in, I want to see the provincial provinces play rugby and I want to see Ireland play rugby. Am I really concerned about opening up to see the AIL player? No. And look, there was ways and means about doing it. Would another month have made a whole pile of difference? No. But I suppose then there's one other issue here, Gizzy. And again, it's probably like we are a unique organisation in the sense that you have two sports riding hand in hand under the one umbrella, John. And
yeah.
That's due respect to the LGFA and coming in. So maybe with you, maybe looking at a split season, can we maximise our exposure for GAA as a whole by splitting up how we run our hurling and football championships? And that we maximise it all the way across so that you are in the public eye, like, you know, because look, what is achieved through All Ireland finals and all the rest, like, it'll be kind of soon forgotten, especially in modern society today where we have the memories of goldfish, like, you know.
Yeah.
And I suppose, like, you need to. So, look, again, if you're asking me, do I lament it? Yes, I do lament it. But I just think, look, they will revise it. I'm sure they'll bring it back a couple of weeks. And, like, look, while kids are on holidays and stuff, I do think it's lovely for families to have that opportunity to go to matches on a Sunday. And by the time they go back to school, the 24th, 5th of August, let you have it finished up at that point. Because it's at that point that on the ground for a lot of club players and even families that they're back at home and they kind of take an interest in their club naturally because they're back from 3 months holidays. So yeah. I do think a month extra, I don't see the big ordeal with it.
Yeah, and I don't see the big ordeal either with just trying things, you know, like you try it, you run for a couple of years, see if it works, because there's so many dynamics to manage, like even with in relation to the kids, you know, showing games or holding games where teams have to travel over an hour or two or families have to travel over an hour or two and they've got young kids and they're having games on a Saturday night. Saturday night under lights is a very appealing thing, but there's a huge family aspect to the GAA. So I think it's good, like, that we just, you trial things, see how they go, but be willing always to change it if the feeling isn't right on the ground. A few quick fire questions, and I'm just really delighted to be throwing this one to you, James, because I'm looking forward to the answer. Best game of the year? Can you give it to it?
The most entertaining game of the year, I think, was the Munster final. without a doubt.
Okay, that's it, we're done. Yeah, knock it up, well done. Game of the season. In entertainment, hurling wise?
Well, I'm not sure. I think the hurling has possibly slipped back a little bit. And, you know, even hurlers of the year, the young hurlers coming on stream, and there's a whole massive conversation there regarding minor under-17s. And I've more of a problem with that than the actual season. I think if we spoke to county hurlers, they would jump out and maybe enjoy the season when it's over at this stage.
That seems to be the word from players. It's like they have a bit of time now.
I do think, and not to go back on Niall's point, but a couple of weeks more between a semi-final and a final, 2 weeks is a very short run in. A little bit more of a gap between the hurling and the football, make them a little bit more standalone. I think that should be done. But as regards, if you go through all the games this year, how many of them were actually brilliant hurling games? Do you know, you went down to the Munster final, you had a packed stadium, two teams going, you know, hell for leather, massive entertainment. But the actual standard of hurling, has it gone back a little bit? Are we not bringing through the players? Is under 17, you know, if you take the base of that Limerick team, and again, Niall will know more on this, is coming from under 21 teams of a few years ago, going back 3 or 4 more years ago even. And a lot of Kilkenny teams, all the good teams throughout have brought through, they've been performing at under 21 level and so on. I think those are the games that we're kind of letting slip a little bit. And that's the one thing I change, is bring it up. But most entertaining game of the year, Clare and Limerick.
Okay, I thought you were going to say Wexford and Kilkenny and Nolan Park. Anyway, that's okay. Most exciting team of the season, I suppose, like, up against, it's really up against, Limerick have shaped every other team in the sense of whatever they're going to do, it has to be able to, you have to be ultimately aiming to beat Limerick, which means whatever tactics you're going to employ, whatever style of play you're going to employ, has to be perfected to a point, or it has to be something very true in them. Was there any, who stood out for you, Niall?
I suppose maybe not the most exciting team in the championship, but I suppose, like, you have to admire Clare. Clare came out of the woodwork there and they really added to the Munster Championship. So I think in that sense, probably disappointing performances from, I suppose, Wexford, Dublin, Waterford in that sense. And just even on that, Gizzy, you're talking about moves for the future there. It's just one, I think, huge issue coming down the track, and it's actually staring the Jay in the face here, is how we treat and respect our referees. And like, Joe, and all the voices that we have here, we've media feedback from, I suppose, on players and the issues that players have, whatever else. I was just talking to a very prominent referee here, intercounty referee there in the last few weeks, and he looked like just a guy that was beaten from the job. And he just spoke about the mental anguish that they have. And like, I really, and again, look, I'm not a big fan of referees, don't get me wrong, all right? But I'm involved long enough to know in the game that you can't have games without the referees. And I do think that the GAA have left them on an island as it is. And I, again, they're like the fellow who does the parking fines or the speed van. Nobody likes them, and you don't be going around telling everyone at the wedding what you do. Yeah. But like, for some of these referees there, like, I even just take the case of John Keenan. You're asking Jamesy there about the best game of the year. Like, that was down to John Keenan. Mm. All right. And Bill Shankly used to have a great phrase about referees, is the problem with referees is that they know the rule, that they know the rules, but they just don't know the game. All right. But there was John Keenan, the one fella who actually played it. Man, I'd say he's gone into hibernation. I'd say he was like Shergar there. He might be seen again for a number of years. Yeah. Like, but they're coming back to there, and I know it's probably going again, it's off topic, but I do think I know in South Tipperary there was around the junior games, I think they were called off there a couple of weeks ago, they'd no one to referee the match.
Yeah.
All right. And our game will continue to evolve, but unless referees are allowed to the support to evolve with it. And I too think, you're talking about all the professional standards that you're talking about, I do think that you're going to end up with a case where some of these refs, you'd have to have a paid body of refs at elite level, because other than that, they won't have the skills, or I don't think they'll have the want to put themselves out in the firing line the way they have.
Yeah, yeah. We don't seem to include them as part of the hurling family in a way, definitely not in the way we speak to them. It seems to be like a very easily remedied, I think, as well. You just go hard on punishments for a while. But I think if you're just brought in the language of respect is too, comes
you have to
too
pay
corporate or something.
You have to pay him a lot.
And pay him well, yeah. I think players, I think we should have assume a little bit more responsibility as well in realising that they're people, and you wouldn't speak anywhere in the way people speak to referees. So why do we think we should be allowed to do it? But look at it. I think
you hope that's to pay him afterwards now, Jamesy, not before.
very quickly, player of the year?
I suppose Burns.
Okay.
I think so. And I know he's been muted by a lot of people, so I'm not coming up with anyone new there. But yeah. I just think, look, Hegarty's All-Ireland final alone, you'd nearly give him Hurler of the Year. But I think just maybe for consistency throughout, I think Burns. But again, some of the things Galland did, him up there. It's not that, but I suppose Burns, yeah.
Yeah. Niall, because you've got so much experience with the youth of the game, Young Player of the Year. Who really stood out? Because it's harder at 20 in terms of the physical conditioning now. You don't get like an 18-year-old coming in nearly as often as you might have. So who performed well in the stakes that were there as a young man?
I don't think there was a massive standout player like as in somebody who, a la Tony Kelly, 2013. I suppose, look, given the age profile, if it's still under 21, I suppose you're looking at maybe Kieran Joyce and Cork or Colin Neal. It was very hard to give it to a sub. If they go up a year above it, maybe, I don't know, somebody like Mikey Butler. But even in that player of the year, Gizzy, they're like, John, and all the conversation here, Donald Burke from Dublin and Killian Doyle from Westmead, they're two lads. They will not appear in any conversation. They will not appear in any conversation on All-Star teams. But Jesus, man, the scoring rates of those two boys over the course of the championship, especially in Donald Burke, he's one of the most consistently high-scoring forwards of the championship. And I suppose, look, as in, they won't appear in the Hurler of the Year, but I'm going to give a shout-out to them because, do you know what I mean? It's hard when your county is struggling and New York's giving those performances day in, day out.
Yeah, particularly when you can. There's not much more either of those two fellas could do, and there's plenty more like them as well, but they certainly were standout players. We'll have to leave it there because we've got, as I said, Aaron Galan coming on. For the both of you, James, I've been chatting to you now an awful lot more than I ever would have. Jeez, I haven't spoken to you in a long time, but because of this, I've gotten the chance to get your insights for the last few months, and it's been very enjoyable. So thanks very much for coming in and being willing to come in as well. It's great to have you in studio, and Niall as well, from the lush pastures of Limerick. You're indoors today, but it's been Shane, it's been great to have you as well, Niall, and today you're up with us. I think there was just an awful lot of value in the things that you've been giving us here. But I think in general, anyway, your contribution has been stellar. So thanks very much for coming on. And I guess we'll catch up in maybe in the 2023 championship season. Who knows? But that's it for us. As I said, we'll come back with Aaron Gillan. Okay, we're joined now on the line by Aaron Gillan. In the backdrop is not Adair Manor, but it's certainly the castle I'm familiar with, driving through Adair on the right-hand side, I think, just over the bridge. How are you doing, Aaron?
All good, my lads. Happy to be on.
Good stuff. I mean, I don't know, sir. Geez, just congratulations, first of all. I mean, it must be the stuff of dreams, like when you think about the young fella like who fell in love with the game, and you're looking up to, you know, the Mourns and all of these fellas who've gone before you, I suppose the Kirbys in your case, at home, and you're thinking, will it ever happen? And all of a sudden, when it comes to your time, it happens to be the greatest time in the history of the county. Like, how is that? Well, I suppose one of the things Niall Mourne was chatting about just before was how aware that the current group of players seem to be of that it has been maybe difficult to be a Limerick hurler, and now all of a sudden you're part of this just golden era. How's that been?
I suppose everything you kind of said there kind of hits the nail on the head. First of all, we're definitely enjoying every single minute of it. As you said, when you're a young fella, it is the stuff you dream of. But I suppose even looking back, a few of the names you mentioned there, the likes of Niall Mourne, Gary Kirby, even like looking at Patrick Sweatalow and Kieran Carey, all these lads.
Yeah.
Like, they're all people we'd still see as legends. We'd hold them in way higher regard than any of us. You know, we're just going to outdo what we love. But I suppose in terms of legends in Limerick GAA, they're the kind of fellas, the names that spring to mind straight away.
Yeah, well, look, that's changing at the moment for sure. Is it, how consciously have you taken that on? Like, is it through John or through Caroline, or is it just maybe the timing of it where, as you said there, like, we're just enjoying it, like you're really enjoying everything, and it's not since the Sunday, it's not like the sessions afterwards. You seem to be a bunch of fellas who are enjoying having the ball, like enjoying playing, and sometimes they look at inter-county hurling over the last 10-15 years, and even when I was playing with Wexford often, I got the sense from a lot of fellas that they'd made the choice to be doing it for sure, but like they didn't seem to be kind of joyful in it, but you seem to have that kind of wrapped up well.
Yeah, look, I suppose when you're winning, it makes that side of things, it certainly makes it a bit easier. So luckily enough for us, over the last couple of years, we've been lucky enough to pick up a few medals along the way, so it definitely...
But that comes, does that not come, like, the winning comes when you have the attitude, like, when it's not... Do you know the language of, like, sacrifice and all of that stuff that's in the game sometimes? That doesn't seem to be the way for you, so I think, like, winning almost naturally follows enjoying it.
Yeah, you could say that, I suppose. I suppose some people might think we're kind of weird in the sense that, like, we actually enjoy the hard work and that's where we get our enjoyment from.
Yeah.
And I suppose, like, we know that if the hard work is put in, it's going to benefit us on the field. And once the hard work is put in, everything else is going to follow. So it's like over the last couple of years, it's down to one simple thing, and that is hard work, and that's led to everything that we've won today. So I can't see it stopping anytime soon, to be honest. No, we're going to continue to work hard the minute we're back training.
And whatever, so it's not about, like, you're not thinking 4, 5, 6 All-Irelands. It's much more focused on the very basics of just getting back into the hard work.
Yeah, and just keeping it as simple as possible. You know, that's what works best for us. So I don't see any point in changing it at the minute.
Is there anything of Brian Cody's, like, obviously you saw he step down in the week, like, do you feel there's anything of Brian Cody's legacy in, do you know, maybe how John has approached it, or how ye yourselves as players have approached that, like, that he had that very simplified, dignified and kind of hard-working approach, you know, that doesn't need to be all the bells and whistles that sometimes we think we need, that actually if you just hone in on something like that, for example, hard work, say, right, this is our game and we're going to enjoy it, we're just going to work hard. Is this just something you've come to yourselves, do you think, or is that infused in your play as well?
I suppose different teams kind of have different mantras and, like, different things work for different people, but I suppose this current group of Limerick people, you know, like, what works best for us is just keeping it simple and having full control over what we can control. And once you step out into the field, like, the only thing you have full control over is how hard you work. Like, you can't have 100% control over if you're going to score 2 or 3 points every day, do you know?
Yeah.
Whereas the one thing that you can control wholeheartedly is how hard you go out and work.
Lovely.
And I suppose it's just a motto we kind of have, or something we kind of base ourselves off. Like, if you work hard enough, you're about to be rewarded for that.
Yeah.
So just our train of thought, to be honest.
Nice. Is there a moment in the year where that, like, does any moment stand out to you when you look back on the year where you see kind of, you know, the reward of hard work sometimes is greater than just, you know, applying yourself and to a situation with hard work? It also seems like the environment around you responds to the honesty of your hard work, that, like, things kind of flow your way. Like, was there any time in the year in any game where you see, okay, this is working, like, this is a typical moment of where we have applied ourselves and now the rewards are coming?
I suppose, being honest, there might be a few matches that kind of spring to mind straight away. I suppose going into extra time there in the Munster final against Clare, when Clare were rightly coming at us, and, you know, they probably had the belief that they could have beaten us, and rightly so, they were right in the game and they gave us a hell of a shot. But I suppose we just kind of stayed calm. We knew what we've been doing. If we stuck to what we've known the last few years, that it has benefited us and it does work. So we weren't going to change out of our routine for a few minutes there, just trying to get the win. We knew that if we stuck to what we always did, that it would see us over the line. You know, it's kind of tried and tested at this stage, and it is working for us. And I suppose you could say the same, like, for the two matches that followed, like the semi-final against Galway and the final. I suppose in the heat of battle, things were crazy there for a few minutes, and just a proper battle. Like, you know, it was fair tough going, but we just stuck to exactly what we've been doing the last 4 or 5 years. And look, as I said, it's tried and tested, it's paid off for us, and luckily enough, it has done so this year as well.
Does it breed, I get the sense anyway, I suppose, that it breeds a composure in your play? Like, you're exceptionally composed on the ball, those different passages at times in the year where, like, you know, things might be an overhit pass or whatever, but there's no sense in anybody's body language on the field that you're under stress or in a bit of fear or, you know, like, doing it too fast. Like, you seem to have a remarkable composure that I think comes out of that just trusting that, look, at we're controlling the controllables here.
Yeah, I suppose, to be fair to the lads involved in training with us, they have us so well drilled, like, you know, what supporters and what everyone else sees on a couple of Sundays there throughout the year, that's exactly what we're working on since the first day we go back training at the start of January. So, you know, it's well drilled into us at this stage. I suppose it kind of does dumb it down and simple things down for us as well, like, you know, whereas when the match is close with a few minutes left, you know, we're not worrying about, oh, the what ifs and buts, you know, we're just worried about what we've been doing, as I said, since the first week of January, and just trying to see that through and hopefully come out the right side of it at the end.
Yeah. I mean, the hard work, I understand the hard work as a basis, but there is a finesse and a skill that comes in relation to your own game. And I couldn't help but wondering during the year how conscious you are of doing things differently each day. Is that just in response to whatever way the ball comes in and you just don't care what way it comes in? Or do you enjoy that aspect of, you know, ghosting in behind, getting a goal from a catch over the head because of your strength in the air, but then also, you know, the next day everyone's thinking, oh Jesus, you know, Mike Galan, he's going to slip in around the back, and in those games then that's giving you a little bit more space out in front. Like, you, in varying your play to the extent that you can, is that creating more options for you because you're always leaving fellas guessing?
I suppose it's a challenge, like, and it's a challenge you either embrace or you run away from it. So I kind of enjoy it, to be honest. You don't want to be a one-trick pony either.
No.
To be fair, just my own mindset going into matches, just try and make myself available every single time the halfback or midfielder gets the ball, and whatever way it comes in, it isn't up to me. I just deal with it when it comes in. But I suppose what's kind of benefiting me is, in my own opinion, I'd say I have the best in the business in terms of lads hitting in the ball. And like the likes of Declan Hannan, Darragh Dunham, you just watch them play hurling all day. They're just lovely hurlers, lovely hands, you know, and wherever they put the ball, you're just going to try your best to be on the end of it. So.
Yeah. I get the sense that maybe with John Kiely, but definitely to a greater extent, Caroline's involvement, which there's definitely a bit of a focus on life outside of hurling as well, and kind of preparing yourselves like as people, kind of moving on, moving through your career, and you know how you'll adjust to it maybe later when you know 32 or 33 when you decide to maybe move on. Whenever that happens, like, is there anything like what has that been like, or has there anything that you've picked up in it that's been particularly beneficial? To life outside the game, not just, you know, all in the intensity of hurling?
I suppose to be fair to Caroline, she's just like a mother to absolutely everyone in the panel.
Wow.
Everyone has a great time with her. She gets on with everyone. I suppose you can read into kind of psychology in whatever way you want. You can take it by the scruff of the neck and go all out with it, or else you can just kind of take it nice and easy and take the bits you want from it. So Caroline's easy what way you want to look at it. I know what works best for me is just kind of relaxing, not thinking too much about things and just trying to enjoy things. Whereas I know fellas like to go all out thinking about getting their mind right, and that works for some of them.
Yeah.
I know Garrod, for example, like he'd be very big into psychology, and it's definitely working for him anyway. So that's what suits him. And I suppose in terms of myself, just try not to think too much about anything. Caroline supports that, and like, she'll tell me I'm 100% right to do things my way. And I suppose just kind of once you have that approval of someone that you know knows exactly what they're talking about, you know, that just kind of puts your mind at ease and lets you express yourself, I suppose.
You've had Carborough, Carolan in with you this year as well. I know it's only his first year, but I certainly get the sense from him of being a fella who is kind of going after it. I mean, there's three of them, three fine strong fellas, the three brothers, and that's when I meet them, like that's the feeling that I get from them. Like there's just no holding back. Like, you know, they're not stuck in a bit of fear or tension whether they're good enough or not good enough. They just seem to be going for it, and I think he was definitely a good fit for you this year.
Yeah, to be fair to Cara, couldn't speak highly enough of him. He's a big hit now in the group, really settled in. Everyone loves him. I suppose
a few alternative approaches in Carver as well, I'd say, is there?
He does, but I suppose everyone's different. Like last year we had Michael Kiley, he'd something different. The year before we had Joe O'Connor, three of the best in the business, to be honest.
Yeah.
I suppose when strength and conditioning started becoming a thing there back in 2012 or 2013, Carver actually was the strength and conditioning coach with Patrick Swell. So I find I would have had a bit of an idea just from hanging around the setup when I was a young fella. But when he came in at the start of this year, the only thing I can remember is he brought me into a dressing room back in Rackheel and put me up on the watt bike, and he gave me torture on here for about a half an hour, and I ended up on the floor barely able to breathe. So you knew what way
that was going to go?
Yeah, he kind of said he'd stall out from the start of the year, this is the way it's going to go. And no, to be fair to Carver, I'd say this year, my fitness is probably the best it's ever been, so that's just all credit to Carver and just the way he is, like being able to approach him and bounce things off him, you know.
Yeah.
No, just says very, very easy to get along with and very easy to approach as well. So
yeah, exceptionally balanced character for sure. Looking in on the news coming out of Kilkenny in the last few days, Brian Cody's influence on the game, like you've grown up, I suppose, in the time, almost completely grown up with Brian Cody as the manager of Kilkenny. What's his legacy like for players outside of Kilkenny, like for someone developing like yourself?
Sure can't but have respect for him, like, and admire him.
Yeah.
As I'm saying it, when lads are there, it's going to be weird to not even watch Kilkenny but just watch hurling without Brian Cody being involved. What he's achieved in, what was it, the last 23 or 4 years now, I can't see that ever being matched again, not even in hurling but in any sport. Just unbelievable, and just what he got out of his players, I suppose he has to be commended for. Like, I love listening and hearing stories about him. I remember a few years ago I read Jackie Terrell's book and I just became obsessed with him, and his mindset is kind of similar enough to ourselves. Like, you know, go out, work hard, beat your men, and if you do that, you'll come out the right side. So, no, he's going to be a huge loss, but fair play to him for everything that he's gone through and won.
Yeah, I feel for all of us, like, who played against Kilkenny under him, or just anybody who's exceptionally committed to the game. Like, you couldn't help but feel that he kept he kept hurling kind of sane in a time when other sports maybe went different directions, you know, a little bit more. I was chatting to James Ryle and Niall about a little bit earlier, like when a bit of a development towards sport as entertainment, and there was more kind of frills and bells and whistles, whereas he kind of really honed in on the basics. Like, as you said, you know, your mantra has been hard work. Like, it's very similar to what he's been talking about for a long time.
Yeah, and I couldn't agree with you more. As I said, like, you can't but respect that. Hard work pays off, and like, he's been around the block long enough now, and even thinking back, like as you said, like, GAA matches, sometimes they can be turned into big events, and like Kilkenny maybe haven't been in the final there in a few years, and like, it is a massive, massive day.
Yeah.
And like, some players that weren't involved in it before, you know, they could have got swayed by that or swayed by the crowd and everything that goes with it. Sometimes it's a bit of a circus, like, but you know, you could tell that Brian Cody definitely had his lights honed in on, you know, the one job they went out to do, and to be fair, they gave it everything they had and just came up short. So, you know, he had them right for sure.
Yeah, I think it stands to all of us to watch that as well. Look, at we leave it there, Aaron. I know you're a busy man, but congratulations on all the success. And sure, there's no doubt you're only kind of, yeah, once hard work is their mantra, it's going to be a lot of hard work for every other team in the country. But for the moment, you get to enjoy the fruits of that hard work, and you're certainly well deserving of it. So congratulations, you've entertained to no end in the year, and it's been a pleasure watching you play. And you're for any corner forward in the country, for any player in the country, to be able to vary their game, like, I just, it's such an essential thing to be able to vary your game, because it does keep people guessing all the time. So yeah, look, at congratulations on that. Thanks very much for giving us your time. That's all we've got time for from the Hurling Show, and we'll it's been an incredible 3 months going through the championship for all its ups and downs. It's been great to have the lads in studio and the different interviews as well with the likes of Aaron today. So thanks very much for listening in, and we'll catch you soon in the future. Slán.
You're listening to the GAA Hour with Diarmaid Ling on Sports Joe.
Donald Donovan is the left cornerback. He hits it. He hits it. What? It's over the bar. Oh, holy Moses. What a match.
There's been a missing person in Clare for 81 long years. Well, today, that person has been found alive and well. And that person's name is Liam McCarthy.
They know as much about serious level sport as I know about the sleeping habits of the Ayatollah.
There's a streaker on the ground now. He must be a Kilkenny man, because he's quite happy with the situation right now.